Okay, so we're up to Perek Yudalit. We almost finished with Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel, three words again. Kichuim Machem Dvarim. Hashem says, Hashem says, Klal Yisrael should do tshuva, a second tshuva. Kichuim Dvarim B'shuva L'Hashem. Take with you Dvarim. We learned yesterday too. Perush Midrash means you should take words of Yidduf confession. Or it means Dvar means you shall take in Yonim. You shall do Ma'isim Toivim B'shuva L'Hashem. And repent. Repent means, we learned yesterday in the Malvim, the Bible Perush means a second repentance. The first repentance was the Pasuk Beis, Shuva Yisrael, and now there's a second round of repentance. When it says Shuva, the second round of repentance is what it says here, Shuva Mei Ahava. Imreila, say to Hashem, Kol Tisavoin, say to Hashem, Kol Tisavoin. We learned many different Perushim, simply means change the words around. Change the words around to Kol Avoin Tisa, Hashem, forgive all of our sins, or forgive the totality of the sin. The Kach Toiv. Kach Toiv means in different Perushim, you shall take Maisim Toivim, or you shall, Rashi gave a few Perushim, it means only look at our good deeds. Hashem, we know that before you comes up advocates and prosecutors, only focus on the good. And accept in the place of korbanos, accept prayer. Okay, now let's take a look at one last parish before we go further, and that is of the Chidah. The Chidah, page 201, Pasuk Gimel. The Chidah, Kichui Bochem Devarim, Evshad Tchilas HaTeshuva Hihu Shmiras Haloshein. Very interesting approach. We know that in Chodesh Elul, there is a minhag, to have a tainis dibur. Did anyone ever try that? Not to speak, not to say a word the entire Chodesh Elul. Yeah. Only words of Torah, Utsila, you're not allowed to say anything else. Don't speak to your wife, to your children.
Try for an hour.
Try for 5 minutes. A tainis dibur. The Sfardim, are very into this. The Sfardim, they do this all the time. But the Sfardim, just try doing the shir. Just try that, right? Okay, v'tchilas ha-teshuva hu shmiras ha-loshayim. The first step in doing teshuva is to watch what comes out of your mouth. K'mo shamar kasuf, mihu ish hechafetz chayim. Okay, it's Rosh Hashanah, Elul. You're all focusing on zochreinu l'chayim, v'chosveinu b'sefer ha-chayim. If you want life, mihu ish hechafetz chayim, oyev yamim liroiz toiv, nitzar l'shon chameiros, sumei ravase toiv. So watch what you speak. First it says the first order of business is Nitzor L'shoncha. Then it says the Achakach Amar Sur Meirav HaSeitayv. The Chayin Amar. What's the source for that? This pasuk right here. Kichui Mochem Devarim. The first thing of it is if you want to do teshuva, the first thing is you have to guard what you say. The Chayin Amar Bereishu Kichui Mochem Devarim Lishmar Beris HaLashoin. Obviously, the Chidah is learning like in the first time I said the word Devarim means words. And he's not saying that it means to confess, to use your koyach adibur to say to Hashem, chotosi or visi poshati, but instead this means, take the words that have come out of your mouth and focus on those words and improve them, focus on the beris haloshayim, liyosay motsu todir, that it should be always in front of you, and you should properly know how to speak and what to say, what not to say, v'yeshbay avoynes chamudim p'chidua, there are many severe sins, say to chavetz chayim, Uksiv says the pasuk Hagatem Hashem b'derechem. You've made Hashem tired. You have tired Hashem out through your harsh words. V'yom Razal Dikviyachol Ein Lo Yigia V'Amar Hashem is not yogei. Hashem never gets tired. He lo yonu v'lo yishon shomer yisrael. Hashem never sleeps. Sleeping is a product of being tired. If Hashem does not sleep, that indicates Hashem never gets tired. And yet it says in this pasuk that we make Hashem tired through our speech. Meaning, we exhaust him when we say things that are not proper. And this is something, I don't know what he means. What?
What does he mean? We exhaust, like we say in English, you've exhausted my patience.
Correct. So, but speaking, Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yachol, he makes believe that he's getting weak from us and he's not unable to help us. Inam, okay, that's the first Peshay. It's the first beautiful interpretation. The Musar here is when you do teshuva, the first step is to guard the bris haloshayin. Inami, efshar duhu remes alatzilas. It means lip service. New idea that you shall improve your sincerity in the koyach hatfilah, and this is a very serious avera. It says in the pasuk, you've honored me with your mouth and with your lips, but v'libay rachak mimeni l'zeomar. That's what the pasuk here means. It shouldn't just be words. There should be meaning to the words. They should come together. You should come with your words. You should know what you're saying. You should be sincere in your prayer to Hashem. Exactly what you need to say. Then Hashem knows what's in your heart. This is critical. Someone told me recently a story, very, very tragic story, where a child preparing for the bar mitzvah, and he was good. He has the gift. He's able to get the words out, to memorize the trap and then pronounce the words correctly with all the diktuk. And you name it, the whole 9 yards. So he says to his father, "Father, you know, I know that I'm very good. I know that I can lame very, very well, but it's meaningless to me. I have no idea what I'm saying. I have no clue what I'm saying. What do these words mean? It's just pure memorization. So maybe you can teach me. I know how to lame them. 12 and a half years old, I'm all ready to go. Maybe you can teach me." So the father says, "My son, I don't know what the words mean either." Okay, it's pretty sad. I'm not the one to teach you. I don't know what they mean either. So it's a sad state of affairs where a person can go his whole life and just read the davening and have no clue or lane. It's just words. Chumash words, Gemara words, Mishnayos words. And have no meaning. Have no meaning.
I actually heard something yesterday where a child, let's say a teenager, says that he's smarter than Kavana, everything. Don't believe him. He doesn't know what it is. He's doing things because everyone tells him to.
Right. Do. Okay. So.
Graduate into to have that.
It takes a lifetime. It's a process. It's a process.
You're lucky you become 80 and you have Kavana.
It's a very long process. Very long, difficult process. And that's what he's giving Muslim. Together with you shall come your words. Meaning that your word should have depth, should have sincerity. You should know what you're saying when you dive into Hashem. Third parish. When a person goes beyond Lefnim Yeshuras Hadin, that is an indication that he's doing it me'ahava. A person only does it just the bare minimum. That shows that he's doing it me'ira. That is the way you can determine if a person is doing it me'ahava, me'ira, if you see that he's willing to stay a little bit longer. People who stay in shul a little bit longer and they say a few more mizmorim, they say a few more things, that's an indication that's me'ahava. When it comes to any mitzvah, you linger, it shows that you're very serious. Based upon a person's desire, he'll do more than what is called of him. A person, this goes really back to the Malvin said, the person that's shuv miyira, zidoynos nasos loikishkagos, uvashav me'ava nasos loikishkuyos, yod kasu, de'arba chiluki hapara, leisanu bishav me'ava. And this is a very incredible chiddush what he's saying. There are four gedarim of teshuva. The Gemara says there are certain types of sins. The only thing you have to do is just say chatasi, avisi, poshati, and you're done. Completely forgiven. Then there are sins which are a bit more severe, and you need Yom Kippur. You need to wait until Yom Kippur passes, together with doing teshuva. The itzumoi shel yoim is mechaper. The day of Yom Kippur is so potent that it forgives you for the sins, but it's very dangerous. A person sins in the beginning of the year, he has to wait a whole year, 12 months, until the sin is forgiven. And in the meantime, that sin is a prosecuting angel against him in Shemayim. So it's not so simple. Then the Gemara says there are certain types of sins which are even worse. And not only does he need Yom Kippur, he needs to suffer. Rachmana Litzlan, he needs to have to have Yisurim in order to be cleansed from the sin. Yom Kippur is not enough. It's the combination of Yom HaKippurim together with suffering. And then there are sins that are the fourth category, which are so severe, just saying Chatasi Avisi is not enough. Yom Kippur is not enough. Yisurim is not enough. Death. The only way the person achieves atonement is death. That means his whole life he is in a situation where he is vulnerable due to his sins that he has committed. So now we learn that Chazal. We learn that Chazal many, many times. You assume that it does not make a difference how much tshuva you do. You can do all the tshuva you want. It's necessary. And together with death and Yisurim, Yom Kippur, v'chulu, that is when a person will be forgiven. It doesn't make a difference if your tshuva was me ahava or me yira. Even if you do a teshuva me ahava, there is still a need for death. There is still a need for Yisurim. So the Chiddush says something here which is totally off the charts, which you never be able to say unless you have these words inside, and that is those four steps of teshuva is only for those who do teshuva me yira, because you're afraid of divine punishment. But if a person does teshuva me ahava, then he does not need Yisurim, does not need death, does not need Yom HaKippurim. You can accomplish it immediately. It's an awesome, awesome chiddush and a very great source of inspiration that there is a lot of hope for us in doing teshuva chatoim. Just it should be on the level of teshuva me ahava. Incredible chiddush. The Arba Chilul Kapara Lesanu Bishav Me'ava. I mean, you need a source for this. If someone today would come and say this, I mean, I hang out with a lot of people, you know, some people are more the Haredi world. And whenever I say this, goes on nonstop. See, here you don't bother me. Here I can tell you things, and you don't blink. Maybe you're just not listening. Maybe you're just on the smartphone.
Yes, thank
you. I don't know what it is. But I go on with certain people, I tell them the Vart, and they always, invariably, they say to me, who says this? Show me the source. Who says this? And if I say that I say it, they laugh me out. They laugh me. You need a makor. You can't say that. You have to have a source to say such a thing. Who are you to say such a chiddush? You need a source. And if there's no source, get out of here. You can't. This is an attitude that is very common. I'm also guilty of this this attitude. And it's true, you do have to have, you can't just go do say whatever you want, you have to, you know, you have to be rooted, at least in the Chazal. If this would not be a Chidah, to say such a thing, the first thing is you would be shot down and say, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, there are Arboha Chiluke Kapara. Everyone, you learn Hilchas Shuvah, you know this is something very, very popular, the four Chiluke Kapara. You're telling me a chiddush that's only if you do tshuva meyira, but if you do tshuva me'ava, it doesn't apply? The Gemara does not differentiate between tshuva me'ava, tshuva meyira. How could you say such a thing? The Chiddush says it. The Chiddush says it. Where is the source? He doesn't give a source. He says this on his own. It's a fascinating a chiddush for someone to say something like this.
But it's an interesting thing. I mean, there are plenty of studies all over the place that if a person sees a quotation and he doesn't know who it's from, and once you tell him who it's from, then the attitude completely changes.
Right.
It could be the opposite of what they expect. So, you know,
Mr. Glatter always tells me this. He says that he goes and he pays up with his children, so he says his own Torah, his own Chidushim. So the children, they say, who says this? So I say this. I said, okay, very nice, very nice. But, so the next year, he said, they didn't remember, he said the same Vart, mm-hmm. And they said, who says this is the Chassam Sofer. Oh, what a Vart. Chassam Sofer. He made it up, but the Chassam didn't say it. He just lied to them in order that it should be accepted.
And if he was in Shiva there, he would, you know, a lot of times when he would say something and he asked him who said it, he would just say, I'm not telling. He wanted to see the reaction first. Well, when he asked the Shiloh, he said, if I told you it's Rabbi Kiva Ege, ask the Kashi, lives with a Tzarachian, you're going to say, forget it. Maybe somebody has an answer. I mean, I don't get it. You don't say. I want to see the reaction first.
There's a famous person.
There's a bias.
Yeah, but he was a Sephardi, he was in Ashkenazi.
There's a very famous person, you can probably figure out who the person is, I'm not going to say who it is, who used to, he was known that he would say Shi'urim, he would say different ideas, and he would say, Shamati me Odom Godol. Mm. Who was the Odom Godol? Himself. Shamati me Adam. He was the Adam Gadol who was referring. He said, he's saying it was old and people should accept what he says. Adam Gadol. I saw recently very this really blew my mind. The Gemara many times you find the Gemara says a principle that you are allowed at times to say a halacha in the world of halacha. If you want to be paskin a halacha, you can say the one who taught this halacha was the Gadol Hadar of Moshe Feinstein. And Moshe invites him paskin that this is the halacha. And the Gemara says you can do this. Why? Because if I'm going to say that I paskin the halacha, no one's going to listen to me. And in order that it should carry weight, people should be willing to accept the halacha, you're allowed to lie and say that this Gadol is the one who taught this halacha. Now that's shocking. It's a shocking thing. Today, you go to jail for that. Today, it's played, I mean, it's just not that hard to lie. Today, in our society, this is not accepted. But the Gemara says this. The Gemara says, that, what are the rules? I don't know. It's a Gemara. So now, with this, you can appreciate this. I did something which is very fascinating. The Gemara many times says, Trei tanoi v'aliba d'chatana. You learn a daf Gemara, the Gemara will say, they said over in the name of, let's make believe, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana of Yehuda, said the following halacha. Avir minhu. How can you say Rabbi Yehuda said this, but we see another Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said pum farkaret? So most of the time the Gemara gives answers, but sometimes when the Gemara has no answer, the Gemara says, Trei tanoe v'aliba, I'm going to give you an example, v'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. There were two Amoraim, later generations, who recorded, who have a tradition. It's how could it be two people have a tradition which are contradictory to one another? Okay, so I never wonder what.
You're right. I mean, I'm learning. I think it's Sefer Beitza, and this Amara says right. Something named Rabbi Yochanan. Monk of another Amara. He says no. Rabbi Yochanan said it like this. How come?
So what's the right answer?
Same Rebbe. Same
so what's the right answer? So sometimes the Gemara answers Trei Tanoe V'Aliba D'Chatan. Now I always, my entire life, always assume that means. That somehow, really only one is right. Really only one is right. And just somehow, over the generations, or over time, there was a misunderstanding.
Depended on the case. A lot of times the Gemara says, Chasura Mechzura V'Hachim Ketan. Okay. He was talking about this case, and I didn't tell you
that. But the Gemara concludes that there are two traditions as to what this person said. You know, there are many stories, even Rav Moshe Feinstein, where two people, Rabbanim, they went into his study, and they asked him a question, and they both walked out, and 5 minutes later, eat this what Rav Moshe said it's mutter, Rav Moshe said it's asa. How could, they were both there, we talked over here in this generation. Yeah. I think they had it with Shabbos makeup, and they had the Shabbos with
you had it with the Arab in Flatbush. There was a...
Okay, right. Okay, in Hanani.
When we were interviewing Rabbanim for the chat here, when Rabbi Greenberg retired, so we had one Rav said, you know, he says, I was at the meeting that Rav Moshe had with the rabbis of Flatbush, and he said, I heard Rav Moshe say that if you are going to make it, I'm not going to come out against you. And he said, one rabbi went home and said, Rav Moshe is for it, and the other one said, Rav Moshe is against it, because...
They understood him differently.
Right.
And they are many times they really honestly understood him differently. So that's how I understood, that's what I always understood it to mean. Trei tanoe v'aliba d'chatana. There were people in the room, and this person made a statement, and it was understood by one person in one way, it was understood by another person another way, and they passed it on to their Talmidim down generations, and that's what the Gemara means. That's how I always learn pshat in the Gemara. I came across very recently that pshat may be emes, but there's another pshat. And that means the two Amoraim basically lied. They never heard anything. They never heard anything from them. There's no misur, there's no nothing. They were 100, they were Rabbanim. They were in a position of authority. They had a kehillah, and they demanded that the kehillah follow their halacha. And the Gemara says that at times, with certain rules, you are allowed to say a halacha in the name of someone very, very great in order that your kehillah will accept it. So this one lied, and this one lied, and that's why it's called trei tanoi alibod, because that chad mandava never said it, period. Not like the common understanding is he said it. It's just a question of how they interpret it. He never said it. It was just a question to give a legitimacy, so they attributed it to him. People should listen. Yeah.
I could see that in a case where the person saying that is already accepted.
Right.
Acceptance, that's a no
stretch. So obviously this Gemara requires...
It happens all the time. People drop names. There's a Mishnah.
Yeah, but they drop names, but it has to be true. Today, in today's society, if you drop a name and it turns out you're a liar, then you're finished. You're Liz. There was a person recently. There was a whole scandal. I mean, already a couple of years about a person who was known. I'm not going to give you his name. You probably maybe know, but if you follow this news, and he wrote an article, and in the article he said very big chidushim in a very sensitive area of halacha, and then it was discovered all of his sources he fabricated. It was discovered they were outright lies. And like the person is like, today he's viewed as being a mashugana. Like you go and you write an article in a journal which is very widely accepted, and you build yourself a nice reputation. And you go and you say outright lies. I remember two of the people who the reaction. You know, two people that I know who reacted. They were blown away at how he was at the chutzpah. How he was able to do this and get away with it. Yeah.
How can you hope to get away with it?
He got away with it.
Verifiable.
It wasn't easily verifiable. That was the whole point. It was not easily verifiable. And people were so surprised how he can do this, and they spent a lot of effort in trying to uncover the sources. And then after the investigation was concluded, it was a total lie. And they confronted him and he says, Yeah, that's right, I made it up.
The Mishnah say you can look it up, and then some people do look it up.
Yeah, of course you can look it up.
I
don't remember all details. I know what it is. I know what the issue is. I know the person. And I remember two people who were just blown away. I remember these people. One person never reacts to anything, and he reacted to this in a very unique way. And the other person, whatever, he was just like just speaking about it. Like, I just can't believe it. I can't believe what he did.
There's a missionary, and I think it was Rabbi Loza, said that he heard from Rabbi Yehuda about three things. One thing was about a certain thing could be used for murder. And in the Mishnah he says, and I was looking for Talmidim to repeat it for me, that they heard it from him, and I couldn't find it. So he actually said that I heard the halacha was like so, but when I went
couldn't to verify it.
I couldn't find it.
I couldn't verify it. Kach shamati, but I couldn't verify it.
But
okay.
It couldn't verify yes or no.
Actually, you have one other time, there's many times in the Gemara found.
Yeah.
Where somebody will say, well, say a Raisa or a minor. Don't say it outside. Don't
put it into the book. It's a shekel. What he's saying is nonsense. Right? That's a student. That's when the student says the svara, and the svara is so off base.
No, he's quoting something.
Yeah.
He says, take that outside.
Don't bring it here. It's not. We don't accept that over here in this space, Medish. All right. Okay. There are many different stories. Different.
Don't you have all the time witnesses? They both see the same thing, and they both give different testimonies.
So, in other that's the case.
Yeah, I think they're both. It could be they're both being honest.
Okay, they are. Yeah, in their minds, they are honest. But I'm talking
honest,
about
this, but biased.
But then there's a situation where they make up things, and the Gemara says in certain situations it's permitted, for even though this person never ever said these words, never. You are permitted to say the halacha in his name so that people will take it seriously. And that is a new pshat in the Gemara, trei tanoi, v'alibo d'chatano. The chatano never, ever said anything. He never learned the sugya. And these two people, the later generation, in order that their followers should accept it with legitimacy, they made it up. They said, this one says it. And that's how you have a machlekes.
It is acceptable if you make a statement which you repeat two different sources But you take half of one source and the other half of
that's,
another.
That's intellectual dishonesty.
Yeah, but it fits in whatever you want to put.
Well,
so what? It's still out of context.
You have to be honest to the source. You have to.
I mean,
you got to look up the sources. I want, you know, sorry, I remember Reisman. I was once talking to Reisman. He was showing Reisman Tarvad Das. So yeah, I was talking to him, learning, and I told him about I told him something, and he said, "Well, that's very interesting." I said, I have a sefer, and the sefer has a lot of this type of stuff. So I'm very curious to hear the sefer, and I need it for tonight. I need it in the meeting because I'm speaking tonight. I need this, so I'm gonna call you later in the day when you go home. I'm gonna call you. Sure enough, in the evening, he calls my house. I couldn't believe it. Reisman, a celebrity, calls the house. You can imagine. And I had the sefer already. And I read him word for word what it says in the sefer, the sources, the whole thing. And there's like a lot of, and like five sources. It's okay, thank you very much. And he tells me the next day he looked up all the sources. Lo hayu devar me'olam. No such thing. Either it was a gross exaggeration, or it was just outright, it wasn't there. So like this book, this sefer, which I thought was a good sefer, was just corrupt. The person is saying things in the sefer, he has sources, and the sources just do not match up. You got
to
look up the sources.
You have to be so careful. I mean, I can tell you, you know, when I wrote my sefer,
everything
very careful,
is sourced.
Very careful about my
it's very hard,
very careful.
A lot of effort.
I wanted people to be able to, since I'm not a known person, I wanted people to be able to go back to my sources and, you know, to, if they want to verify what I said.
Because I am saying this, yesterday I lived in the Gemara, which was a dispute, and one of this was says, oh, Rabbi Yehuda compiled the Gemara, and he understood this part like this and this part like this in Horaios. But then it was rejected. But it is a statement.
Okay, in a halami, so that there are different, legitimate approaches. We're not talking about people who are corrupt, who have their own agenda. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people who are trying to honestly understand the emes. Mm-hmm. And then the, even when you try to understand the emes, you can have different approaches. See, there's not only one shade of emes. Emes is many shades. Many different.
You don't quote the whole quote to the end. Just talk about it.
Right, you have to see the whole context. Everything has to be taken within context. If you take it out of context, obviously it's not fair. Let's go further. Okay, this is the chidah. This is official the chidah. In we love the last few lines. Kol avim tisa beeza oifen sheyia miachad shavnu me'ahava v'kach toiv zidoynois v'nas take toiv dizdoynois. The next pasuk, I will heal you from your backsliding. Those who love nidava perish. He is learning here the word nidava in the next pasuk to be an expression. That's really his source. It seems that's really his source. He's saying nidava means love because you only give gifts if you love the person. You don't. If it's an ahava, then it's a gift. If it's not, it's only yira, there's no gift. There's no tip. You only give a tip if you love the person. The ein tsarich zman. You do not need the zman. You do not need to go through the process, the four different steps. K'moy arboch hiluki kapori kishav api tekef. Hashem will rescind his decree immediately. It's very powerful yisoid from the chidah that the dalit chelke teshuva are only for those who do teshuva miyira. But those who do teshuva me'ahava do not need a Yom Kippur, they do not need yisurim, they do not need death. It's an incredible chiddush. He's trying to learn that into the next pasuk of nidava, and nidava a little bit later on, not this one, a few pasuk in the head, they love to give gifts. Those who want to come close to Hashem through ahava. Pasuk says the tshuva kishav api mimenu. Hashem says my teshuv, my anger will be returned immediately. The chidah is saying this is his source. Okay, this is his source. He does have a source because according to the Gemara says Hashem's anger does not return, does not dissipate immediately. There's a process. Sometimes there is death. Sometimes there's even more, there's Gehenna. There are many different parts of the process in order for Hashem's anger to dissipate. And over here it says it happens immediately. The answer is because here it's nidava. Ohave nidava, tshuva me'ahava. Tshuva me'ahava, you don't need to go through the steps. So bottom line is the Chidah provides us with three perushim of this pasuk. Number one, kichu imochem divarim. The first step in doing teshuva is to focus on the bris ha-loshayim, on the koyach hadibur, not to speak lashon hara. The second perush, kichu imochem divarim, is bring yourself together with your words. When you daven to Hashem, it should not be lip service. It should be, you should know what you're saying. You should be sincere. And the third parish is Yehu Yimachem Devarim V'Shuva LaHashem. It's pretty much what the Malbim said is do Teshuva Me'ahava. After you've done Teshuva Me'ir and Pasuk Beis, now do Teshuva Me'ahava, and then you'll be able to have the Hashem's anger will dissipate immediately. This concludes that we did the Mamar Chazal. Okay, we didn't do the Mamar Chazal yet. Let's see him back on page 200. Page 200, it says in the Gemara on the bottom, Lekut Shas, on the bottom, Lekut Yimachem Devarim, Vereshuv El Hashem, Amar Bitzak, Amar Yidim, Amar Rebbe, Mishmei, Derabba, by Mari, Bo, Rei, Shloi, Kimidas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas Pasav Adam, Midas Pasav Adam, Maknit, Eschaveh, Bedevarim. If you insult your friend, if you say Losh, you speak Loshon Hara on your friend, so now your friend has a complaint against you. Savik mispayesimenu, savik in mispayesimenu. We are talking about mispayesimenu, and even if it's a possibility for him to be mispayes, savik mispayes bedvarim, savik in mispayes bedvarim. Savik, what do you have to do? Even if the person is possible, maybe you have to give him some money. You have to appease them with money. You have to appease them with a maisim, with a maisim toivim, whatever it is. It's not just enough to say I'm sorry. There's more to saying I'm sorry. Ava Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam Oyver Aver B'Seiser Mespayes Mimenu Bidvar Hashem. It's a guarantee. If a person does a very bad aver, even words alone saying you are sorry is enough to mefayes Hashem. Shenemar. It says here Kichu Imochem Divarim V'Shuvul Hashem. So the Chazal obviously learned the word Devarim to refer to words. That's the whole purpose of this Chazal. Even though we learn according to Radak, it doesn't mean words. It means in your nim. It means do maisim toivim. And we explain the reason why that would seem to be a better translation, because it says the word kichu, take. Take is something physical. If we're dealing with words, the word kichu is not the correct word. It should say imru devarim, or it should say whatever. There are different words to express an adjective for words. The word kichu is definitely not our first choice. And because it's not our first choice, that's why the Radak says it does not mean words, it means devarim, means matters. Yeah. Matters are in your name. Do ma'isim tovim, and do the ma'isim tovim. Hashem, they will be an advocate. Hashem will accept your tshuva. But the Chazal here in this Gemara clearly tell us, no, it means words, and they're using the building of the whole tower based upon this translation. Is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is receptible to being appeased with just words alone? V'loyoy. Not only that, the Gemara goes further. Ella shemachzik leitav Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says to us, Yashar Koyach, I thank you for saying you're sorry to me. Shenemar v'kach toif. Hashem gives back. The Lulim Shah and the Pasuk, Hashem says, thank you so much. And as an appreciation for the kindness that you've done by saying, I'm sorry, I want to give you a gift. V'kach, take. That's how we learn Shah and the Pasuk. We learn until now the Shah and the Pasuk, we should take toif. V'kach toif means that we should take toif as an instrument in appeasing Hashem. The Gemara is saying, no, it's a response. We've said words, Hashem accepts the words, Hashem says, I forgive you, and not only do I forgive you, I'm appreciative that you've said you're sorry to me. Here, let me give you a bonus, let me give you a gift. Not only that, a further blessing, Shemale Olav HaKosav Hashem, you brought an offering before me, Kilu Hikar Parim Shnemar, Uneshalma for them Samasenu, Shema Tama Porichov, maybe referring to a Porichov with an obligation. No. Tamaloimar in the next Pasek, Erpa Mishuva Samayavim Nidava, Hashem considers it to be a Nidava. Next, Chazal, Kichui Machim Dvarim, Mishuva Hashem, in Dvarim El Divrei Torah, okay, new interpretation. Take Dvarim, this was the first translation of the Pasek I said when we started. Here he's saying, in order to do tshuva, you have to learn Torah. If you do not learn Torah, you're not going to know how to do tshuva. Elu divrei Torah shenemar es hadvarim ha'ele diber Hashem el kol kehalchem. So since it says in the context, dvar means Torah, so therefore in order to do tshuva, a prerequisite to doing tshuva is to be koveya itim l'toira. Only the Koyach of Torah does Torah soften you up to do tshuva before Hashem. Okay, so we've gone through many, many perushim. This pasuk, it's also very big hashgacha pratis, is that it's the first Rashi of this week's parasha quotes this pasuk. Right? What's the first Rashi of this week's parasha? By Yikach Koyach. Kedai.
Yeah, but that means differently.
So what does Rashi say?
Separate.
Oh, Rashi is Kippurushim. What does Rashi say in the first Rashi in this parash? It's amazing. We're learning over here of Shabbos. This pasuk is the first Rashi. Unbelievable Hashkacha. Unbelievable Hashkacha. Parash is Yochum Adreshes, right? The Likach Koyrach, second Rashi, Lo Kaches Atzmoy. Okay, then we go further. Dovor Acher. Dovor Acher, the second parish. Vayikach Koyrach, Moshach. He translates the words Vayikach is Moshach. He pulled Roshe Sanhedrios Shebohem Bidvorim. The Roshe Sanhedrios, the Korach, convinced the Sanhedrin that he's right. Zemachlekes Moshe and Korach. The Sanhedrin is on the side of Korach. Kimoshe Neamar. How do I know that when it says Vayikach Korach, it means he won over the Sanhedrin? Because it says in the Pasuk, K'moshe Neamar, Kaches Aaron. So what we have to understand, what's the Raya? Kaches Aaron. Kichu imochem divorim. This Pasuk. So Rashi brings two proofs that when it says Vayikach Koyrach, it means he persuaded, he convinced the Sanhedrin he is right. One is from Aaron. I'm not so sure what the proof is. Kaches Aaron. And the second is Kichu Imochem Divorim. What's the connection? Well, when you learn the Rashi, when you learn the Chazal, not the Rashi, but the Chazal on this passage, what we just learned, Kichu Imochem Divorim. Divorim is Divrei Torah. Take to you Divrei Torah as a prerequisite to do tshuva. So we see the word Kichu is associated with Torah. The Sanhedrin is all about the study of Torah. So if the pasuk in the beginning of the parasha says Vayikach Koyrach, if the word the Torah chose to begin the parasha is Vayikach, and the word Vayikach is associated with the word Devarim, which means Divrei Torah, that means that Koyrach, he went and he gave over, he set over a shtickel Torah. He set over up a pilpul. Who's interested in listening to Divrei Torah? The Sanhedrin. They're the ones who can appreciate what he says. And the fact that the pasuk says he did this indicates that he succeeded in convincing them that al derech haTorah I'm right. Moshe is wrong and I'm right. So that's only based if you say the word Devarim means Divrei Torah. Then we have the association of Kichu with Divrei Torah. We then plug it into the pasuk Vayikach Koyrach. Koyrach, he convinced the Sanhedrin. Okay, so this concludes our elaboration on pasuk Gimel. Now we go to the next pasuk. What should we say to Hashem? We should say to Hashem the following words: Ashur. Well, it's not okay. I take that back. That's what the Malbim says. The Malbim is the one who puts these words into our mouths. However, simply the one that's speaking here is Hoshea, and he's giving us Musar. He's telling us Ashur lo yoshienu. Ashur will not save us. Al sos lo nirkov. We're not going to be able to save ourselves by riding on fast horses. Today they would say you're not going to be able to save yourself with F-35s. K Okay, they used the F-35 for the first time in the world, was used when they launched the missile strike against Syria two weeks ago. They have that.
They used it before that. They didn't use that in the war.
What?
When they had that big attack, they didn't use the F-35.
That's in the news. It was the first time.
They used it before that.
Before that. Ready before. They already used it before for another mission.
Right.
For another mission. So it's not going to help us. That's not what it's all about. Sus loy nirkov. Riding on the horse is not what's going to save us. We're no longer going to say Elokeinu l'maaseh yodeinu. Very poetic. We're not going to say that our creation is our God. We believe in the product of our hands, technology. What else is maaseh yodeinu other than the advances of technology? We are safe. Our destiny, our health, our power is all due to our creation, and therefore that is the new God. Asher b'cha, it's only in you, Yerucham Yosef. Now this end of the pasuk seemingly has nothing to do with the beginning of the pasuk. It's like what? Where did you go to an expression of Koichi v'yoytzem yadi? Asher b'cha, it's only in you, Hashem, where you read the words backwards, a Yosoim, an orphan, Yerucham will find compassion. Yeah?
An orphan has no protector.
Yeah.
And this is talking about the other.
I know, but not only a Yosoim needs protection, every person needs protection.
No,
every person.
That person needs, a Yosoim needs the most protection because he has no other.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but it's still a bit unsettling. What is, you're talking about the nation of Ashur, we have an enemy, right? What was the whole problem? But Klal Yisrael, different tools in time, they found themselves under attack. So who are they going to look to help them? Ashur, maybe you can come and help us out. Make an alliance, or Mitzrayim. And then we'll have horses and we'll have other nations. And all of a sudden, it's only in you, Hashem, and the Yisraimim, in the orphan home, they you have Rachmanis upon them. It's true. I understand it's true, but it just doesn't seem to fit together. So let's see how the Farshim try to salvage this division. Mitzudos David pasuk dalet Ashur lo yoshienu gam imru. The Mitzudos David says that put these words in your mouth. Klal Yisrael, I want you to say these words. Gam Ashur, Ritzon Olamar Od lo nevakesh ezra me'Ashur. We're not going to seek assistance from Ashur. We're not going to rely upon the might of that horse in battle. The idols. So he learns that the word Maase Yodenu goes on the idols, worship of idols. We're not going to worship these idols. Asher b'cha ritzayin loymar. Okay, whenever the Mitsudo says Ritzon Lema knows that you're in trouble, we're in trouble now for a little translation. Ritzon Lema, ki yodanu, we know, asher levad be'ez u'oscha, yimtso ha-yosom rachan v'chemla, only in you does a yosom find compassion, im ki toshash kolichol v'schazek me'atzma, because he's too weak to help himself. Okay, he's not really coming to explain. We understand that, like Ramchol said, that only you, Hashem, can provide support. And you support even the Yosain. So certainly you can support us. But still, we're leaving out Iker Chosam and Asefi to understand why we're focusing here specifically on the Yosain. Let's see then Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Dalid, says, Ashur lo yoshienu, oid zois imru lefonav. Same thing, these are words that Hoshea is planting in the mouth of Klal Yisrael. I want you to make the following statement. Lo nevakesh oid ezras odam. Lo may Ashur v'lo may Mitzrayim. The Mitzudois adds in Egypt. Where did Egypt come into the pasuk? Where do you see Egypt? The answer is the horses. Egypt, they were the world-renowned horses. Came from Egypt. So whenever it talks about horses, it is a code word for the nation of Egypt. Al sos loy nirkov zohi ezras Mitzrayim shohayu shaluchim lochem susim kumash amru liyashaya Hashem said to Yeshaya, the people, like the common man said to Yeshaya, we don't need Hashem, we have horses, we have the Iron Dome, we have the best airplanes, the best tanks. Loi, ki al sus non los what?
Tanks, it says, what's the term here? Al sus non mirkov. What is the Israeli tank called?
The Merkov. They make the best tanks in the world. They make it killingly, export them all over the world. They sell to different nations. They no one makes a tank like Israel. They have the best tanks. The airplanes still are made by the United States. The best airplanes, they buy them and they modify them with their own technology. But the planes, the Iker technology comes from the U.S. But the tanks, hands down, tanks are known to be for years, it's for decades. Decades, no one makes a tank like the Israelis. Only Jews know how to make tanks. What? Okay. It's not a joke. Look what happened in Iraq. Look how many people, all those bombs on the road, all the Humvees, they didn't know. They all, how many Americans were killed. Come on, it's not what happened because they didn't have the proper vehicles in Iraq all those years. All those years, it was the worst thing. When we went on the road, there was IEDs. These things, they blew up. Terrible. Like Yal Sus near Nanus, Al Kal near Kav will ride upon something very light. We're not going to say about idols that are our gods. Asher b'chol levadcha tietik v'seinu hamerachem yisoyimim. Again, silent. Rashi says, "Shuta shel mikra, only you, Hashem, do we rely upon. You are a person who has rachmanis upon yisoyimim." Rashi is not really explaining the connection. So we're still on a wild goose chase.
What do you say?
Stamazoy! Stamazoy! Ayosim! Ayosim! No!
No one's on their side.
No, right. That's the question. What is the Yosim doing here? What is. Hashem is called the Avi Yosim. Okay, it's true. We all know that Hashem is. But what does the Yosim here have to do with this pasuk?
Well, I think we're saying over here that we can't rely on Asher. We can't.
Right?
So we are like Yisraelim. So the only one who will be first to rely on
Hashem. Okay, that's what Bechol said. So therefore, since we came alive, they were like Yisraelim. So therefore, we have to rely upon you, Hashem. But it's not what you would expect the pasuk to say. You would say, we can't rely upon. We had this theme already 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And we never concluded, Hashem, therefore we rely upon you because you are the Avi Yisraelim. It's true. I understand the drush. A Yosem has no one to defend him, to support him. So we rely upon you.
I think it's a nonsense.
We've gone through this idea 100 times in different words, and you never come out at the end because you're the Avi Yisraelim. What? There's something here. Iker Chosem and Asif. So we're still on the wild goose chase to see what this means.
Yeah. They were criticizing Asur, or I forget the
name. Mitzrayim, yeah.
Mitzrayim for help.
Yeah.
They should rely on Hashem.
Right. I agree. I'm not. That's obviously the pshat. So Rashi says, that's what the Mitzvah David says. That's what other professors are going to say. But we've been through this theme already many, many times. Never does the pasuk wind down and say, Hashem, you're going to save us because you are the Avi Yisraelim. It doesn't fit. It's not what we would expect to conclude. The pasuk should conclude with these words. Let's see further. Let's see Radak pasuk Dalid. Radak pasuk Dalid. Where is Pasuk Dalid? There's no Dibra Maskel. For some reason, we got to call it the art scroll. They didn't put a Dibra Maskel here. What? Where? 203,
no?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ashur Lo Yoshieni. I thought it was Ashur Lo Yoshieni. Vizvadil Fanaf. Same thing, the Imru. Same thing, the third Mefarish that says these are the words that we are being instructed to recite. He's composing the Nusach HaTfilah. Hosea is composing the Nusach. You say the words, Ashur, Shebatachnu Bo Arata. We have put our confidence in the nation of Ashur. Yodanu, we know clearly, Ki Lo Yoshienu. Ki Ein Boi Koyach. Lo Hoshienu Zulosch. It's only you. You're a puppet in your hands. Ki La Hashem HaTeshua. Al Sos Lo Nirkov. Shayinu Sholchem Rechve Susim El Ashur Li Hoshienu. So he learns not like Rashi. The horses is a bride. We would bribe the people, the Assyrians, by sending them gifts of horses. And by giving them horses, in exchange, they would reciprocate by protecting us. Maybe it just means it was in messengers. Maybe it just means it's not gifts. It means, I don't know, maybe it means messengers. And to send messengers to go and to persuade them, diplomacy, to help us. Okay, so again, he's not saying over here anything about the Yosna. He does quote the Targum. Targum says, "Dimin kodamach itzracham al avosana kar havo b'mitzrayim ha ki yasmin." He adds a little bit. The Targum adds a little bit more flavor into the pasuk, and he says, "Not now." We remember the days back in time when we were in Egypt. And when we were in Egypt under the authority of Paro, indeed we were Yosaimim. Because then there was really no one to help us. Then we were really the Avodas Perach, we were slaves. Then we were very, very desperate. And just like in history you've come to our aid, we have confidence you'll come to our aid now. So the Targum has done something that none of the above have done. Not the Radakta and Rashi and the Mitzvot is saying the word Yosom over here is a code word for Egypt. When we were Avodim, Avodim, Hoyinu, Lefaroi, B'Mitzrayim. We were slaves. And when we were slaves, we were Yosomim. There was no one there. The Avos died, the Shvatim died. We were slaves. There was no one to protect us. We were the real deal. And look what happened. We merited Yitzias Mitzrayim. So we, better than anyone else should know, study history. We saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem has the power to do so. So now when we find ourselves in a matzav of difficulty, we also should draw from Mitzrayim inspiration that Hashem will come rescue us today as well. So it's a little bit more. It's a code word. It's a code word for Avodim Hayinu Lefaroi B'Mitzrayim. However, the Targum is not fully satisfying because tell me, where else in Chazal do you ever find Chazal called Klal Yisrael in Egypt Yisayimim? It's not the common metaphor. We're called Avodim. An Eved is not a Yosem. It's a different, they're similar, I can understand, you can draw an analogy, but it's different. There's something called an Eved and there's something called a Yosem. So the Targum is trying very hard to open up the pasuk a little bit. At least he's trying. Rashi didn't try. Radak didn't try. Mitzvus didn't try. The Targum is saying something, but it's still a shtickle difficult. What is going on here? Let's now see the Malbum. Malbum, pasuk dalid, Ashur noimar elich b'sifsa senu, say it out with our lips, Shemi'ata, the same thing. Everyone so far said exactly the same thing, that these are words that we are instructed to put in our mouth. Shemi'ata le'niftach oid al dover zu losch lo yal ashur shebotchu boi malcha Yisrael batzar lohem, not on ashur which the kings of Yisrael put their faith in, ki ashur lo yoshenu v'le'niftach ba'avut shrayim ashen nosnu lo nusus v'rechav shenil sheni lochem b'koichenu. That's what Rashi said. On the Avodah Zorah and the constellations. Anyone that does not have someone to come to their aid. V'chein achash ein lanu bitachon v'sikva al shum davar nimsa rachmim etzlecha. He's saying the run of the mill stock, right? This is the run of the mill. Exactly what Rashi, everyone says, the basic pshat, a yosayim is helpless, and therefore it's the nature of Hashem to come to the aid of those who are helpless. We are helpless. Hashem emel will come to our aid. Now let's see. Yeah. It's always Chosavas. Chosavas only came to an end. What? That's why you only went to the Yosem. That's why you want to come and explain the Ma'al of the Targum. The reason why it says Yosem and Targum is because it was B'dafka in the Chosavas who are no longer there. So now Hashem is coming to the aid of the children. But in this generation, the truth is, it's always the Yos Chavos, because Chazal said, Tamu Zuchus Avos in the time of Yoshafat. It was much later. Zuchus Avos did not come to an end at this point in time. I don't remember the exact details, but at this point in time, Zuchus Avos is still in operation. So it's all the same. I hear you. There's more of an emphasis that Hashem said to Aaron, "Yedo teda, kigeya zerach beretzel va'avodim va'achichin yitzur b'chushkados." You want to focus specifically? Okay, it's an idea. I hear what you're saying. It's an idea of why we're saying the word Yosayim. But we're still searching for something a little bit more satisfying. So let's see. Let's see. There is no chazal, so we have to. I think we have to wait for the answer. There is an answer which I'm not ready yet to tell you until I see the words inside. All right, let's hold off a little bit for that. Let's hold off just a drop. We'll get back. Believe me, there we're going to get back to this. But let's just go further in the pasuk for just a little bit more. We'll come back to understand this in a few moments. Okay, let's go now to pasuk hey. Erpa mishuvasam, Hashem, I will heal you. Now we're dealing with refuah. Okay, refuah is part of the answer. That's part of the answer. Yerucham yosayim is because. Okay, this is where we're getting to. This is coming back. A whole new idea. Erpa, refuah mishuvasam. I'm going to heal you from mishuvasam, from your backsliding. I haveim nidava, those who love to give nidava, ki shav apim menu. Okay, that really is the answer. The answer is refuah. Refuah comes from the parents. Healing, we know in modern science. In modern science, if a person needs, let's say, needs a blood transfusion, or a person needs an organ transplant, so where do they take from? You take from your blood relatives. Who is the closest relative? The parents. The parents created you. They are the ones who brought you into this world. The koyach of refuah in ancient times comes from. Okay, yeah, there's more to this to understand how medicine worked in ancient times. The Rambam, how medicine worked in ancient times. There is a genetics, and there is I think you're hereditary. There is a lot of refuah that is based upon studying your family history, and based upon your family history, a doctor knows how to proceed in administering the refuah. You just don't take a person, Rachman son, who's sick. Okay, eeny, meeny, mani, mo. Let's just go through a dart. And we'll give you medicine. I have a whole collection of medicines. Okay, let's try this. It doesn't work like that because you're just groping in the darkness. You look at the family history. You study the family history. That is your blueprint to provide refuah. A yosayim has no family history. He has, but there's no one to talk to. There's no one to talk to. There are no records. So then the doctor is really in the dark. So then you're in a lot of trouble. That is why you need Hashem to come in and help you. You need Hashem because there's really no one to rely upon. If you had a family history, then the parents also tell you that. Also, another point is to tell you the history, what the symptoms. The most important thing is you tell the doctor what's wrong. You come to the emergency room. They look at you. What do you want from us? What are you here for? A lollipop? What did you come here to the emergency room for? I don't feel well. Well, what's wrong? Where does it hurt? Does your leg hurt? Does your heart hurt? Does your head hurt? Tell us what happened. Why did you decide to come? What are your symptoms? You have a little baby. Baby doesn't talk. Who is going to express with eloquence and detail what happened? What is wrong with this person that we need professional help? It's the parents. But if you see a child lying in the street of Yosayim who's abandoned, no one knows even what's wrong. The kid is obviously, he's not functioning. He's not functioning. We don't know what's hurting him. We don't know what happened. We don't know what to do. So the only ones that can properly explain the symptoms, the problem to the doctor, are the parents in a normal situation. The only ones, then when we want to treat the illness, we have to know what kind of medicine works. We have to interview the parents. Well, what medicine worked for you? What's your family history? Tell us about in your family, what problems do you have and what medicines work for you? So both, in many dimensions, you need parents in order to be a partner with the doctor in administering refuah for a child. Now today, obviously, it's not like this as much, because today science has advanced to such a degree where a doctor can do a couple of tests, he can figure out on his own almost everything he needs to know, even if you pick a person off the street, you know, from nothing. He'll do some x-rays, some MRIs, some blood tests. You'll already get a big picture of exactly what's going on. Yeah, that's today. That's the 21st century, Baruch Hashem. But go back into ancient times. In ancient times, it did not work like that. Ancient times, a very significant partner in refuah are the people who raised you, the people who take care of you. If a young person comes to the doctor, he comes with his parents, and the parents give over the history of what has happened through the years, why we now need your services. The doctor also has the parents, well, did you ever have an illness? What medicines work for you? What did not work for you? What works for one is not for another. We don't appreciate this because we don't live in these times. But in ancient times, you need to have parents. Problem is, if there are no parents, and you pick a person off the street, then who's going to heal you? You're in a lot of trouble. This pasuk is coming to introduce us to a new theme of doing teshuva is equivalent to a refuah. There's the refuas ha-nefesh and there's the refuas ha-guf. They go together. It's a process of tshuva, it's a process of refuah. And once we're drawing from refuah, we take on all of the different attributes, the characteristic of refuah in nature, and we're going to have it spill over into the spiritual refuah. So this is what we're now heading, and that comes to explain at least to some degree. One of the Farshim says this idea of that's why it says over here, Yesoimim, because since the next pasuk now leads into the theme of doing teshuvah is like going to a doctor. It's a process of refuah. In refuah, there is a parent, which is a partner. But Klal Yisrael, you're so far gone. You're so lost. You don't have kavayachal parents to help you do teshuvah, to help you heal. So therefore, they have to do all the things that a parent would do, what a parent would do in order to help you get better. So therefore, Hashem says, I will be your parent. I will be the one that will give you inspiration, be the role of a parent in filling in all of the necessary things that are lacking in order to get you where you need to go, even in the spiritual mode.
Why do you have a surrogate parent, the Navi?
So this, it's not the same. A Navi, you're right, that's really what the Navi is for, but the Navi is like it's a PA, a Navi. He's not a parent, he's not a doctor, he's a PA. The Navi is Hashem's assistant. Hashem is assistant. He's not licensed to do certain things. Some things he can do. He's not your parent, the PA. Okay? So he's somewhere in the middle. You're right. The Navi is somewhere in the middle. But we're helpless. And because we're so helpless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to help you do tshuva. You need to do tshuva. I realize tshuva is like medicine. It's like going to a doctor. When you go to a doctor, you have to have an insurance card. You have to have your parents take you. And you have to have all the things that you need. And unfortunately, Klal Yisrael, you don't. You have none of the above. None of the above. Don't worry. It's okay. I will anyway help you. But you have to want to be helped. If you don't want to be helped, it's not going to work. That's why we're bringing in all of these ideas. Refuah is a very powerful thing. And the thing in Nuscha Davening is to say, Boirei Refuahis. Noira Sehilais. What does that mean? The only thing you have, a concept where Kadosh Baruch Hu creates everything, Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh. Masha Hoya Kevar Hoya. There's no such thing as new in this world. This week's parasha, in Beriah Yivra Elokim. Hashem, Moshe was mispalel shvia, a naya bria, a whole new bria, just to swallow up Korach. Because everything was already created. You can't, everything was already created. You're not going to create new things. Nothing's going to change in this world. Nature is nature. Yet, hafle v'fela, it's a wondrous thing, that when it comes to the concept of healing, there's something called a bria, a whole new creation. It's the nusach ha-tfilah. The nusach ha-tfilah, we see every single day, lokel asher yatzar, boirei refuois noira sehilas. It's one exception to the rule. This world ain chodosh tachas Hashemesh, but the healing of the body, Hashem creates new things that never ever existed. Why is that so? Why is that? Why would Hashem in the world of refuah make new things? Because every disease in the guf is parallel to a disease in the neshama. Is the refuah ha-nefesh and the refuah ha-guf. And when they're two sides of one coin that cannot be separated. And because when it comes to teshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do for us, I'm going to create for you that you do teshuva, I'm going to go out of my way and do things that are beyond the pale, in order that you do teshuva, that automatically demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since it's a parallel, it's a metaphor, it's a parallel, there's the refuas ha-nefesh, refuas ha-guf, it automatically brings with it the koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can create a new bria of refuah that never existed from the time of my liberations. Because refuah in the guf is keneged refuah in the neshama. And the refuah in the neshama, Hashem says, I'm the Avi Yisoyimim. When it comes to people who need refuah, I take care of everything. I have my own insurance company. I take care of everything. I have the best doctors. I do everything. I'm a boirei refuah for the neshama. Oh, once in for the neshama, automatically it has to be, there's going to be a boirei refuah for the guf because they're toluy ze boze. I will continue Hashem next week.
Myself, but no, I have done it.